In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's not just Christ taking on of humanity by taking human flesh in the incarnation, or his death on the cross, or his resurrection that saves us, although without any of those things we couldn't possibly be saved. But it's also Christ's life of perfect obedience and fulfilling all righteousness. If Christ's life was not important, in other words, if him living out a righteous life was not important for our salvation, then the Lord could have just allowed him to be killed when Herod was seeking the young child's life not long after Christmas, and then he could have risen from the dead and the whole gospel story would have been a very short one. 40 days ago, we celebrated the birth of Christ. 8 days after that, we celebrated the circumcision of Christ. Circumcision was an Old Testament rite that involved the cutting away of unnecessary flesh of a male, and this represents the cutting off of our fallen sinful nature and our dedication to God. And it was also the sign of membership in the Old Covenant Church and was a type of baptism. And why was it on the eighth day rather than on the seventh day or the ninth day? The reason why it was on the eighth day was the creation of the world took place in 7 days, according to Genesis chapter 1. And the eighth day represents a new creation. This is also why Christ rose from the dead on the eighth day. We no longer circumcise children on the eighth day, but we do continue the practice of naming children on this day. But we do this for both male and female because circumcision has been superseded by the circumcision not made by hand, as St. Paul refers to it, which is baptism. And liturgically, immediately following the celebration of Christ's circumcision, we begin to talk about Christ's baptism. So we move from the type, or that which foreshadowed baptism, immediately to the antitype, or that which was foreshadowed by the type, baptism. Though Christ had no sin, he underwent baptism to fulfill all righteousness, as he himself explained to St. John the Baptist, and also to provide for our baptisms the sign of membership in the new covenant. And on the 40th day, Christ, the Virgin Mary, and righteous Joseph, Joseph the betrothed, came to make two offerings. The first offering was the redemption of the firstborn. And this, according to Jewish tradition, was done by offering 5 silver shekels. And the reason why this was done was because when the first Passover had taken place, the very last plague upon the Egyptians, God spared the Hebrew firstborn, and he slayed all the firstborn of the Egyptians. And so the firstborn children, Moses explained to the people, were sanctified to the Lord. And so when you had a firstborn son, you had to redeem him at the temple or to a priest. But the other sacrifices that are mentioned were offered every time a child was born after the 40th or on the 40th day. And according to the law, the mother was ritually impure for 40 days after she had a child, if the child was a boy. If the child was a girl, she was ritually impure for 80 days. And at that time, according to the Old Testament law, anything that she touched became ritually impure, and she was not to go to the tabernacle at the time of the tabernacle existed or later on the temple for corporate worship. And the question is often asked, why is there a difference? We can answer that question by considering why we don't do 80 days for a girl now, but they did this in the Old Testament. What's the difference? Obviously, there's nothing about being a boy or being a girl that's changed, but there has been something that has changed, and that's the covenant. And in the New Covenant, the seal or the sign of the New Covenant is baptism, and this is given both to males and females equally. The number 40 represents a time of testing, and we see this in the 40 years that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, and we also saw this in Christ's temptation in the wilderness for 40 days. So the woman with a boy spent 40 days in this state, but for a girl, she went an additional 40 days because that 40 days was for the child who did not undergo circumcision. Circumcision brought the boy immediately into the covenant. This was what was done for the females, this additional 40 days. So you might ask, well, why do we still observe 40 days? Some people will say, well, didn't the New Testament do away with all of that ritual stuff that we have in the Old Testament? Well, the Old Testament law, the ritual law, as opposed to the moral law, which still exists unchanged because it's unchangeable, it reflects God's nature. But the ceremonial law of the Old Testament was the Old Testament's way of pointing to Christ. These things foreshadowed things about Christ and things about the New Covenant, and in a shadow and in a mystery explained to the people what was to come. With the New Testament, we have a new worship. And that's what the book of Hebrews talks about. With the New Covenant, there is a new liturgy. But there are elements of our liturgy that are the same or have some continuity, and then there are other aspects that are different. Our worship is very much rooted in the Old Testament worship. If it was radically different, for example, why would we still be using the Psalter? That's the biggest book in the Old Testament, and that's the core of our worship to this day. So there's a great deal of continuity. When I first began to study Orthodoxy, one of the things that struck me about attending a Vesper service was how similar it was to what I had read a synagogue service was. And I later on read more about this and discovered that there's quite a bit of parallels between the various services that we do and the worship of the synagogues that exist even to this day. And one thing that we know from church history is that later on, the Christians didn't have a lot of incentive to go and find out what the Jews were doing and trying to copy them because they didn't have very good relations with those Jews that rejected Christ. So we know that those customs and traditions had to come from the apostles themselves. And so these are very important, essential traditions that we have. So we need to consider, why do we have this tradition? Why is it continued in the tradition of the church? And how is it similar to what went on in the Old Testament? And how is it different? The pain of childbirth, we are told in the account of the fall in Genesis chapter 3, is a result of the curse because of our first mother Eve's sin. And so the 40 days of ritual impurity were a reminder of the sin of our first mother Eve. There is no actual sin in giving birth to a child. There's nothing in the Old Testament that suggests this, and there's nothing in our tradition that suggests this. There may or may not have been some sin involved in the conception of the child, but in giving birth, the mother brings a new life into the world, and her willingness to suffer to bring this about is a noble and an admirable thing. But God of the Old Testament instituted this time for both spiritual and practical reasons. And the association with ritual impurity has a spiritual and a didactic meaning. And in and of itself, it has nothing to do with actual sin, but is instead a reminder of our fallen human nature. We still, to this day, in our services, there are many things that we do that have a ritual element to them in terms of cleansing that are not related to necessarily washing away actual sin or washing away bodily dirt. When the clergy prepare to celebrate the proskuneo, the preparatory service for the liturgy, we always wash our hands. Well, hopefully any clergyman with any sense would have clean hands before he came to church in the first place. And so this is not done because our hands are dirty. This is done to remind us of our need to be spiritually pure. It has a didactic purpose. Also, one tradition that we have is that you cannot be bleeding while you're in the altar. And this doesn't happen often, but it has happened on occasion that I've cut myself while doing proskuneo because I'm using a spear. One Sunday, it had just been sharpened the week before, and so it was a little bit more like a razor than usual, and I cut myself. We wound up having to start the liturgy about 10 or 15 minutes late while I waited for the bleeding to stop because I had to step out of the altar, not because the Eucharist would have somehow been defiled if I had continued to bleed or had a Band-Aid on this cut while I was serving the liturgy, but because there's a symbolic meaning to not mixing my own blood with the unbloodied sacrifice of the Eucharist. There are also practical reasons why we have this custom of 40 days for a woman who's just given birth. It allows the woman a time to recover. And in the Old Testament, because they had this very strong concept of ritual impurity, because everything that she touched was considered to be impure, this meant that she couldn't do her normal household chores, but could only be ministered to by other people. And if you were an Israelite woman back in those days, your normal life would have been from sunup to sundown, and even after that, doing work most of the day. And so this necessitated that you do no work. And so it was really a blessing for the mother and allowed her an opportunity to heal. Another thing is that this restriction about going to corporate worship prevents a very pious woman from feeling some compulsion to go ahead and drag herself to the services, even though she may not be physically able to do it. I've known very many pious women who they would drag themselves and die in the attempt to be at church if they could. And the church says, no, you can't, because that way, because they're obedient, they won't obey the traditions of the church, they stay home and they rest. It also gives a mother a quiet time to reflect spiritually on this life-changing event that she's had. You might say, well, what's the big deal? Women give birth every day around the world. We have modern technology. Women recover very quickly. Well, we also have women who go through a lot of emotional and psychological stress. Well, that's one of the reasons why we have the phenomenon of postpartum depression and other things like that. So this is a difficult time for a mother to go through. And so this time allows her some time to rest and to reflect. Now, in the case of the Virgin Mary, she didn't need to observe this tradition because the law referred to a woman who had received seed and given birth, and she had had a seedless virginal conception. And also, she didn't experience the pain of childbirth according to the traditions of the church, so she would have had no need for a time for physical recovery. And there was no sin on her part or the part of her child that would have warranted offering a sin offering. But the fathers tell us she chose to observe these things, just as Christ was willing to be circumcised, baptized, and observe all the other laws that were in effect to live the kind of life that we could never live so that he could save us through his death and resurrection. By observing the 40 days, a woman is following the example of the Virgin Mary. And if this custom was good enough for the Virgin Mary, if she felt the need to observe it out of obedience or in respect for the traditions that she had been given, that's all the more reason why we should do that. And of course, this custom is not an absolute custom. If the woman was in danger of death, it's not as if we would say, well, I'm sorry, we can't commune you because you're in your 40 days. At that point, the didactic purpose of the 40 days and all the other benefits of the 40 days would be superseded by her need to receive the mysteries of the church. Our current practice is different from the Old Testament also in that there is no sin offering. The virgin brought two turtle doves, and if you look at the law that is referred to, the law actually says that they should offer a lamb and a turtle dove, but it said in the case of a family that was too poor to afford a lamb, they could offer two turtle doves instead. So this shows that she was poor and came from humble origins. But the reality is that she actually did bring a lamb, and not just a lamb, but she brought the lamb that would be the ultimate sin offering for all mankind. And so that's why we have no sin offering that we make at the 40th day, because that offering has already been made. There are some in the church who say that we should reject traditions like this because they're antiquated, people don't understand them, they strike people as being politically incorrect, maybe even misogynistic. But we need to receive humbly the traditions of the church just as we've received them from our fathers and mothers that have handed them down to us. If you think about the tradition as being similar to a mosaic, if you take a mosaic and you take out a little piece of that mosaic, you can still see what the picture is. But if you take out another piece, then another piece, and then another piece, pretty soon that mosaic starts to become distorted, and eventually it becomes unrecognizable what that image was because you've destroyed the image. In the wisdom of Sirach, it says, he who despises small things will fall little by little. And there are many traditions in our Orthodox Church that you could say in and of themselves, why is this such a big deal? Well, it's not the biggest deal. If you didn't do it, it's not as if the entire faith would be distorted. But all of these things together make a beautiful mosaic. And if we have any humility at all, we should realize that it's not up to us to make changes to these things, but rather to receive them, to receive the spiritual benefit from them, and to be instructed. Because these have been given to us for our spiritual benefit. We shouldn't think ourselves wiser than those who have gone before us, but rather humbly obey, following the example of the Virgin Mary and Christ himself. Amen.